Back in the early 70s, I was a very naive 16-year-old girl working a Saturday job in a roast chicken shop. After a customer started presenting me with expensive jewellery week after week, I reluctantly agreed to go on a date with him. That he was double my age didn't seem to faze my parents. After he picked me up in an expensive car, we spent the evening at a nightclub. At the end of the evening, on the way home, we smashed head-on into another vehicle. When the occupants of the other car jumped out unharmed, my date quickly drove away without exchanging any contact details. After being delivered home, still in shock from the accident, I never saw him again. 3 weeks later, detectives arrived at my home asking questions about my husband. Apparently, a photo taken of two newlyweds at a nightclub with a happy wife, who was me, decked out in fine jewellery, had been framed and was hanging on the wall of my date's place of employment. He had allegedly created a fake identity, gained the trust of his employer, and embezzled a huge sum of money. Police wanted him for questioning, but quickly worked out that the silly Year 11 schoolgirl in front of them wasn't involved. I never did find out whether they found him. Please tell me this wouldn't happen in 2021. Hello everyone, this is Ali from Bad Dates and I'm here to talk to you about dodgy dates, apps, dating culture, and this week a bit of a creepy true crime story from the 70s. Now, I think that person sounded like a bit of a scammer, and there are actually still so many scammers on the apps, which I'm sure you know about if you've been swiping like me. They're hard to avoid, and a lot of time they're using photos that have been nicked off the internet somewhere. So if you're talking to someone who seems a little bit too good to be true, a lot of the time they are. You know, they're very charismatic and easy to talk to. So if you have been scammed by a romance scanner, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It is unfortunately more common than you think. So have your wits about you when you're on the apps. If something seems too good to be true, then it probably is. And never, ever, 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 ever send anyone money on a dating app or even receive money from them, because it is all a little bit dodgy and you just don't want to be involved with that. Now, we all know that there are red flags that we see on dating apps, but what are some of the ones that you might not know about or might not have thought about? I've got three dodgy red flags to talk to you about today, which you might not have considered before. So let's get started and let's get right into it. Number one, the you again. Now, have you ever been swiping through an app and you think, wow, I've seen this person quite a few times. I swear I left swiped. That's no swiped on them a few days ago. Why am I seeing them again so soon? It's a bit weird, right? And you think to yourself, well, it is true that the dating apps sometimes will show you the same person if you've been swiping for quite a while. But there's something more to it with some of them. Now, I call this the you again, and some people who are a little bit dodgy on the apps will operate more than one profile to increase their chances of getting a right swipe, a yes swipe, right? So they have more than one profile with more than one set of photos to kind of make sure that they're optimizing the number of people that see them. There's nothing really wrong with that in of itself, but it can get a little bit dodgy sometimes. You will see the same person with different ages. So they are swiping with people who may not actually be open to them in the other category. So let's say they're 25 in one and 30 in the other. You might be open to 25-year-olds, but not 30-year-olds. So you'll see one, or you might be open to 30-year-olds and not 25-year-olds. So you see the other. So essentially, the more ages they have, the more likely that, you know, they'll be seen by a larger cohort of people. Super dodgy, I know. Give that a big thumbs down. Now, the other reason you might be seeing the same person's profile over and over and over again. Now, I don't have any official evidence for this. It is just my personal experience and those of the people around me who use apps. But we have found if you frequently delete and restart your profile, that new profiles on the dating apps generally are more prominent. So if you've got a new profile, you're more likely to be seen. So what that results in is people deleting their profile and starting their profile again over and over and over. So they are given prominence by the dating app. Now, as I said, there's nothing really officially wrong with it, but they are kind of gaming the system, so to speak. And it puts you in a position where you're going to say no to them over and over and over because they keep popping up as a new profile. So you might have said no today, but you know, they'll pop up again tomorrow and you'll have to say no to them tomorrow. So it's not really, I wouldn't say that it's like ethically wrong, but it is super annoying to see the same person crop up over and over and over. So sometimes the you again is dodgy, but sometimes it's just the person kind of trying to make the most of the apps. Number two of the three dodgy red flags you might not know about. Now, have you heard this line in a dating app bio before? Or have you been told it? Find me on Snapchat. I don't use this much. There are many reasons that someone might want to move a conversation from a dating app to Snapchat. And the first reason is totally non-sus at all. It is because a lot of people use Snapchat. Not me, because I bailed on that one a couple of years ago, but you know, for a lot of people, Snapchat is still super popular and you know, they very well might find it more convenient to talk to on one of the dating apps. However, Snapchat does feature disappearing messages, so it is a massive sign of super dodgy behavior. Why does your conversation need to disappear? Why is that so important? Why can there be no history? And of course, the answer to that is because someone's doing a dodgy, someone's cheating, and someone doesn't want to leave tracks. So that is not very good. What we found, what I found speaking to people about the apps is they get the line, find me on Snapchat, or, you know, let's move the discussion over to WhatsApp or wherever else. And they do that because the person wants to delete the dating app from their phone. And as again, I was saying earlier, it's because they want to remove the tracks of them using the app. They don't want the app still installed in their phone. On top of that, you know, dishonest dating dodginess, there is another reason as well. So many of the apps are a lot smarter than what you would think, and they keep their eye on, in a digital sense, they keep their eye on the conversations to make sure that no one's scamming anyone or doing dodgies. So if someone's operating a scam profile, it's going to be in their benefit to move the conversation over to WhatsApp in case that profile gets flagged by the app and shut down. You'll find that a lot of scam conversations where they're, you know, pretending to be someone who they're not or out to get your credit card details, they'll want to move you off the app and onto a different platform like WhatsApp or Messenger or Snap or whatever else. So a lot of people don't want to do that because it means giving up their phone number. However, there is a safety element to staying on the app as well. And that is because the conversations in a digital sense are being monitored. Now, I'm not going to tell you whether it's good to use the app or not to use the app. There are benefits to both. Maybe you don't want to give out your phone number, or maybe you want to, you know, be still on the app and, you know, have access to their profile and all of that. I'm not going to give you advice either way. I personally like to stay on the app because I don't want them to know my phone number in case they turn out to be a weirdo. It is definitely something to be aware of when the person tries to move you off the app as fast as possible, especially if it's in the first few sentences or a bio. This is a massive dodgy red flag. The no pick. Now, after I did this list, I went back and I thought, oh, maybe they do know about this. Maybe they do know that no picture in a bio or profile on a dating app is a bad thing. But let's talk about it anyway. So if someone has no picture on a dating app, or if they're refusing to share a photo, I mean, This is such a red flag. It is a sign that the person doesn't want to be discovered on a dating app. Now, obviously, there are some occasions in which, you know, the person may not want to give their picture, like maybe they work in a private occupation such as psychology, the police force, or whatever else. And, you know, people have every right to do that. If they don't want to share their photo on a dating app, they are not obliged to. However, the opposite way around, that doesn't mean that you have to swipe them. That doesn't mean you have to be okay with that. There are legitimate reasons someone might not want to use their photo on a dating app, but you know, for me, I need a photo. If that's something that you need, if you want to know what the person looks like that you're going on a date with, which I think is an extremely realistic and fair and legitimate expectation that you know what that person looks like, then go with that. You don't need to feel pressured if they tell you, you know, I'm a doctor, I'm a psychologist, I'm a lawyer, I'm a super spy, which you might think that sounds ridiculous, but legitimately there are people out there trying to tell you that they are spies and, you know, they're in ASIO, which is the Australian Spy Agency, and, you know, that's why they don't have a picture. And that is the most hilariously wild excuse that I've ever heard of. Do you really think that spies are off swiping on the dating apps? Which they may well be, but do you really think spies are swiping on the dating apps and then telling you that they are spies? I mean, I've got to say, if you are doing that and you are a spy, you're a terrible spy. You're the worst spy ever. If you're telling people on the dating apps that you are legitimately a spy, I'm sorry, I can't even hold it together. But no picture on a dating app, red flag it. Now, before we crack on with the podcast, I thought I'd take a moment to tell you about myself. My name is Alita Bryden, but you're very welcome to call me Ali. I'm 38 years old and I live here in Melbourne, Australia. I think there's an expectation from people that I hate dating apps, considering, you know, I do all of this bad dates media, but I actually don't. I've made lots of friends on the apps and had some short-term but nice relationships, so I don't hate them. I do feel they offer a slice of humanity and are very reflective of what people and society and culture are like. So they have good and bad. If you haven't figured it out yet, I have this low-key obsession with chicken nuggets. I love food. I love eating. I love making Spotify playlists and like, I love sharing my Spotify playlists on dates. I am a bit of a grot and I would say that I'm not very polished. I am a bit of a bogan, which here in Australia kind of means that you're a bit wrap around the edges at times. But you know, that's me. I'm not a polished person. Even though I'm a social media person, I'm definitely not a polished person. And that's something I'm very comfortable with. Now, if you haven't figured it out, I don't do all of this bad dates media because I'm expecting it to make me a millionaire or anything like that. It is because I believe that as a community, when we share and trade this information, we empower ourselves. I had a hard time dating in my 20s, and I kind of wish now that I had the knowledge that I do today back then. So you could say that bad dates is a love letter to myself and the people around me who are dating and kind of wanting to know more and needing to find their feet and getting to know themselves. I don't think that dating is something where you go out and you think, well, it shouldn't be something where you go out and you think the primary purpose of this is for me to find the love of my life. I think it works better when you look at a date and you think, did I find a nice restaurant? Did I have an enjoyable time? Did I learn something about myself? Was it just a good excuse to get out of the house and socialize a little bit? Because when you look at dating and you think, did I meet the person of my dreams? That's the metric of success. You're going to fail a lot of the time. So kind of change your expectation as to what you think a good date is, and you'll have a much more fun time. Thank you so much for catching up with me today. I really appreciate it. And your support of this podcast and me personally means a lot. My name is Alita Bryden, and if you'd like to get in touch, you can find me at Bad Dates with Ali on Facebook or Instagram. I hope that you have a fantastic day, and don't forget that your decisions are really important. You are an important person, and your boundaries are important too. I hope you continue smashing it, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.